Hallelujah. I believe there's some people tonight that want to praise the Lord. I believe there's some people tonight that want to magnify him. Glory to God. He's been so good. He's been so kind. Hallelujah. Somebody say, wow! Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Mighty, mighty God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't you just take a moment for some high praise? God has been so good to you. You ought to stand upon your feet and praise and magnify the Lord. He's the one that made you free. Praise him. I said, if God has been so good to you, I said, if God has been so good to you, take somebody by the hand. I need a praise circle down in here, and maybe one over here somewhere. God has been so good to you. You ought to stand upon your feet and praise and magnify the Lord. He's the one that made you free. Praise him. Hey, hey. Oh, it's the last Sunday night in 07. It's been a very good year in the Holy Ghost. Everybody that God has brought you through, I want you to shout about it. Everybody that God's blessed you, I want you to shout about it. Everyone to whom God has been faithful, you shout about it. Praise God. Now, in the middle of this, I want us to do something here. I want to do a little work in the Word. Y'all can just stay with me, if you will. If you need to go get a drink of water, run. Get little Tiffany to come. You need oxygen? We got 45 drummers. That's hard work over in that corner, man. All right. The last Wednesday before Christmas and this morning, we were working on Isaiah 10 and 27. The burden shall be lifted, his yoke shall be lifted off your shoulder, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, I just want us to tonight for just a little bit. I want us to make a little New Testament application here. First Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 through 22. I'm going to read about three scriptures here. Keep moving. You know what Samson found out? Samson found out he couldn't whip anything or anybody until he shook himself. Somewhere in here, you got to move this thing for that anointing to flow. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you. And the language there is the language of bellows. Bellows, that air driver that you would find at a forge where somebody wanted to heat up the fire so that things could be melted and molded and shaped. And he said, Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. Now, how many of you already know tonight that you have the gift of God and that you are gifted of God? How many of you already know that the anointing of God comes with the gift? I'm telling you, the same thing God poured out on David and on Saul, the same thing that God poured out on Elijah and Elisha, he has in these last days poured out upon all flesh. When he told them in Acts chapter 1, you shall receive power, dunamis. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to my name beginning at Jerusalem. He would as well have said, you're going to be anointed. And the job was to be a witness. They received power with the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, I got the Holy Ghost and I got the power. John said you'd receive the Holy Ghost and fire. Tell somebody, I got the Holy Ghost and the fire. Tell somebody, when I got the Holy Ghost, I got power. That's dunamis. Tell them that's dynamite. Sister Elise told me tonight when she walked in the door, she just immediately started speaking in tongues. I don't know how many of you had that same experience. She said it felt like it was running down the wall. And it's so interesting, the language that she chose, because that's exactly what the anointing does. It flows and it runs and it covers and it anoints. And it's all over this place tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Everyone say, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now you got to get this, because the promises of God are yes and amen. And they are unto the glory of God. But they only work when the human catalyst is willing and participates. Verse 21, would you say, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Touch somebody and say, it's already done. I've already been anointed. I don't have to sing anointing fall on me. You might want to sing anointing flow through me, but it's already done. I don't have to look for the anointing. I don't have to pray for the anointing. Now you need to get this. The devil wants to belittle what you've received. He wants to diminish in your thinking the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, I've got the Holy Ghost, but when you got the Holy Ghost, you got everything the kingdom of God had to offer. The only question is, will you grow up in it And will you use it for the purpose of God? High five somebody and tell them, I've got the anointing of God. Verse 22, who has also sealed us and given us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You got this when you got the Holy Ghost, you got the anointing. Somebody say praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. I have no idea what we're doing here tonight. I had no idea what we were doing this morning. 1 John 2 and 20. Everyone say, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. Now listen, in the Revised Version and in the NIV, that is translated, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Would you say, I have an anointing from the Holy One? Shake somebody's hand and tell them, I have an anointing from the Holy One. Tell somebody, God's already laid his hand on me. It's not just the preacher, and it's not just the prophet, but he said, I'm going to pour out the Holy Ghost on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Okay, one more verse. 1 John 2 and 27. And everyone say, but the anointing which I have received of him abideth in me. Oh, you want it verbatim? Well, point at somebody around you and say, but the anointing that you have received of him abides in you. Praise God. Tell somebody, it lives in me. It resides in me. It stays in me. It's in me when I get up in the morning. It's in me when I walk on to the job. It's in me when I walk in my schoolhouse. It's in me when I walk into the doctor's office. It's in me when I walk into the courthouse. The anointing is in me. It's in me when I'm fighting the devil. It's in me when I'm asleep at night. My God, the anointing which you have received abideth in you. He didn't give it to you and take it away. He didn't come down on you when you were ready to pray for somebody. You didn't have to wind up. What are you doing? I'm winding up. What are you doing? I'm getting full of anointing. It's transient. The Holy Ghost is a hobo. He's here 1 minute, gone the next. Sometimes I got it, sometimes I don't. Everybody said, the anointing that he gave me, it lives in me. God's not an Indian giver. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Why do you think I went through all that business with Saul? And as he fell, and as he struggled, and as he backslid, and as he consorted with witches, he was still the anointed of God. Don't even bother making me qualify that tonight. I worked on it for 2 services. If you didn't get it, make an appointment. The baseline on that story is God will always, if you walk down into hell, God will walk with you to the door of hell, and the promises and the gifts of God are yes and amen all the way until you step into hell. For Israel, in their most backslidden condition, God was still their covenant God. And there were individuals that always rose up and embraced the power of God. In the middle of their darkest moment, when God struck down their glory and tore down the temple and sent them off into captivity, there was still a Daniel and a Shadrach and a Meshach and an Abednego that still stood up in the covenant of God. I want you to know, no matter who you are or where you go or what your situation is, the anointing of God is not transient in your life. It's not here one moment. Let me tell you, God's going to be there when you need him. No, you didn't even begin to hear that. You need to know God's with you. 24/7, all the way. The one that began the good work in you is going to continue it until that day. You may back up on him, but he'll never, never back up on you. Somebody say praise the Lord. This is the last Sunday of 07. We need to get some things straight. Because God's about to open the door on prophecy. I mean, he already spoke it in this house tonight. Wrote us a letter about water in the city that's going to change everything. Now, all of that lesson this morning, if you went to Sunday school or working in Sunday school, you may or may not know that all that business this morning about David, the anointed of God, and Saul, the anointed of God. What were some things that David learned about the anointing of God? Okay, if somebody's anointed of God, don't lay your hand on them. Don't matter what they're doing, that's not my business. My business is the purpose and the direction and the will and the kingdom. That's my North Star. Anything else in somebody else's foolishness is my distraction. And I won't be deterred from the things of God. Praise God. What else did we learn about David? You're always anointed. He got it. Even when he's in the cave, even when his army is a ragtag bunch of refugees, even when Saul is chasing him and throwing javelins at him, even when it looks like he's having a bad day, he's still the anointed of God. So the circumstances don't affect the anointing. My God, somebody in a bad circumstance right now needs to look up and say, my circumstances don't define the anointing. If God's not changing the circumstance right now, God's just biding his time. God's always got something in mind. God's always got something in mind. God doesn't ever just drop his anointed out there without any cover. Praise God. Anything else? The anointing will make you grow up. When David first killed Goliath, that sword was a little big for him. But when he went back into the temple, Ahimelech gave him the sword of Goliath. He said, ah, there's none like it. He said, I'm growing up into this sword. Praise God. The anointing will make you grow up in the sword of the Spirit. Anything else we learned about it? There's no grade here. We juxtapose Saul, who was failing and dying, and David, who was ascending and serving God, even though it didn't always look like David was winning. You got the anointing, you're always winning. It doesn't matter if you're chained to the wall of a prison cell at midnight. That's why they still sing, because you're still winning. I'm still winning. It ought to drive the devil nuts. Beat you bloody and chain you to the wall of a prison, and you're still singing. How does that happen? Because the anointing makes me a winner. I'm winning even when you can't see it. Praise God. Praise God. We're having revival. Holy Ghost is moving. Good things are happening. Angels on every side. The promise of God is yes and amen. Woo. Every day, always. What? David was a vexation to Saul because Saul wasn't using his anointing and David was. Praise God. That's exactly right. But something I want you to process tonight and to think about is that Even though Saul was anointed, Saul couldn't see the potential of victory in the valley of battle. David could see victory. David walked down with excitement and enthusiasm and saw the victory and spoke it. He said, "You can rattle on about feeding me to the birds," he said, "but this day I'm going to feed not only your flesh, but the flesh of all the host of the Philistines to the birds and the creatures of the field, and I'm going to take your head off." He said that while running toward the big guy. That's verbalizing the vision. He saw, he could see the victory. What? How many of you know that you're anointed of God? If you've got the Holy Ghost and you don't know you're anointed, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. Let me tell you, if you have active sin in your life, you may be like Saul. You are still the anointed of God. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking to you about a do-nothing religion where you're not accountable for your behavior. I'm just saying God won't take that away from you. Down at the end of his life, Saul is prophesying. By the power of the anointing of God. Did he deserve that? No. It's a sad, sad thing when Saul backslides and goes away. But when God comes to Samuel, he says, "How long will you mourn for Saul?" He said, "I got somebody who can see the power and the potential of the anointing." Now, we're shouting and dancing in this place tonight, the last Sunday of 2007. What can you see from where you're standing? You have the anointing of God. Do you see the victory of God? Somebody just say it as a prayer. The promises of God are yes and amen. And I am the anointed of God. It lives within me. Praise God. What can you see? What can you see? Saul was so bound up by all the things that troubled him, he never began to fulfill the potential of the calling and the anointing of God in his life. But David could see it. Tonight in this service, somebody walked in and said, "Whoa." Somebody met me before service and said, "I can smell it in the air in the house tonight." Somebody else met me before service and said, "I started talking in tongues as soon as I walked in the door. It's running down the walls." But somebody walked in and thought, "We shouldn't have had church tonight. Nobody's in town. My God, I don't know why we're here again." And all you could see was the limitation. And all you could see is your trouble and your misery. Can you hear the word of God tonight and understand that it's the anointing that lifts the burden? It's the anointing that removes the yoke. And by the anointing, the yoke is destroyed. But it only works as the anointing is actively employed by the individual upon whom God has poured it out. Saul is sitting in the middle of a catastrophe. David said, he cast it aside as though he had never been anointed. He never realized the potential. He was too blinded by everything around him. Circumstance, failure, jealousy, which is as cruel as the grave. And David was killing giants, raising up an army, and having good church in a cave. Praise God. You are, if you have the Holy Ghost, you've been born again of the water and the Spirit, you are the anointed of God tonight. I guess the looming question in the house is, what are you going to do with this gift God has given you? What are you going to do with this gift God has given you? In this city, there are giants to slay. In this city, there are armies to raise up. In this city, there are people who are being pillaged by the adversary. And God's looking for someone who has the ephod and can inquire, shall I go up? God's looking for somebody that can hear beyond the chaos and the white noise of the world all around them. A Saul and a David, here thousands of years later, the anointed of God under one roof. And some have vision, and some are blind, and some can hear, and some have grown stone deaf. And some have dreams of glory and visions of what God can do. And some of you, the devil has pillaged you and stolen your vision and stolen your dream. My God, this is a crossroads, this last service of a year. Praise God. Somebody pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Two things, will you and will you in the durative? Will you apply the anointing? And will you have the gumption? Will you have the fortitude to do it on Tuesday, Thursday? And on the last service of 2008, will you be standing in victory? Will you be alive in the kingdom of God? Nobody can answer that question for you. But I want you to purpose in your heart tonight what it is you're going to do and what it is you're going to be. Look back on the year. Give God thanks for the good. Get the failure under the blood. Somebody needs to begin to purpose. God's going to open up a brand new year for me. What will I do with it? How will I use the anointing? This altar's open. He's looking for a vessel. He's looking for a David. If your Saul has fallen, how long will you mourn for Saul? Get up. There's a fresh anointing. Praise. What will your family be like? What will your ministry be like? What will your youth group be like?
Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name.
Lay your hand on somebody. Begin to pray anointed prayers. Somebody lose yourself in that Holy Ghost tonight. Of God. Praise the Lord. I want you to hear me. I need you to listen. In four of the Gospels, there's a story about anointing. There's a lot of New Testament work we could do about anointing. Jesus said you need to get eye salve and anoint your eyes so that you can see. But I think the most compelling story of anointing in the New Testament is about the woman with the alabaster box. It's in all four of the Gospels. John identifies her as Mary. There was a lot of resistance. There was a critic in every story. There was a negative response in every story. But in every story, she brought something precious. She didn't care what anybody said. At great cost to herself, she broke a box of alabaster. She poured that upon his head. He said, she has anointed my body for the burying. Luke's story is about a woman who's identified as a sinner. The suggestion is that this might have happened twice, but the stories are strikingly similar. There's the weeping at his feet. The anointing only works in tandem with humility. She wept and washed his feet with her tears. The anointing only works with brokenness. The broken box and the broken vessel of the individual. She loosed her hair and wiped his feet with her hair. She put her glory, which is what your hair is, ladies. She put her glory at his feet. This is how, if you want a tutorial on how the anointing works, that's how it works. And whether it is David or Saul or the woman with the alabaster box, it's always, the anointing is always for the purpose of blessing and helping and strengthening the people of God. Lifting the burden, removing the yoke, and destroying the yoke. God never sent you the anointing to be used on your own behalf, but always as a representative of what is good for the people of God. That's the only way the anointing works. God is looking for somebody that'll break his or her alabaster box, humble himself or herself. Let the glory that God has given you lie at his feet. I want you tonight to ask God to let you be his chosen vessel, to let you be the anointed of God in his plan and according to his purposes. Would you do that right now?
Holy, holy Lord God,
I want to bless your body. I want to bless your people.
The Lamb who was,
I want to be used of you, oh God, to be a blessing in the house. Whatever I have to do, oh God, to bless your people, I want to do that. God, tell me, how can I be a service to your people?